Thank you, ladies. I want to share some news from the mission field today, some blessings in Gadukuku, Gadukuyu, something like that. I'm really butchering that name. Robert was back today. George was back. And last week he was out of town on work, and he tried his best to get back to church in time, and he couldn't make it. But really shows something's going on in his soul. And he's talking about bringing his wife to church. And the furniture man wasn't able to be there. He was out of town, but one of his assistants in the business was sitting next to the church this morning listening to the sermon. And so thank the Lord for what's happening there at that new church with the Simonsons. And then heard from Paul today. There was a blessing who accepted the Lord a couple weeks ago, made a profession. Paul's been meeting with him weekly with discipleship, and he was in church again today. I think he's been in there every Sunday morning now, the last number of Sunday mornings, and he told Paul after the service that he wants to come to all the services now. And so he was there tonight for the evening service, and he's going to be meeting with Paul a number of times this week, probably going to go out soul winning with him as well. And so pray that's really exciting. And then there's a new couple from Zimbabwe that were there for the second Sunday in a row, and I can't remember the missus' name, but I think his name was Patrick. And they showed some real keen interest in the ministry. I think that they profess to be saved. So the Lord's doing some good things there at Bible Baptist Church in Kempton Park. Continue to pray. And it would be wonderful to have some solid genuine converts as a core, building up the core of that church while the Robertses are gone. What a Christmas present, New Year's present, to come back to see a church strengthened in numbers and in power. So that's really a blessing, what's taking place there. Talked to Brother Needham yesterday. They flew out of Chicago for Cameroon. And they probably are close to they're probably close to a 10-hour drive, I think a 9-hour drive over African roads. If anybody knows about African roads, that is quite, and it's in the opposite territory of the president, so that means they're pretty bad. But anyway, so pray for our missionaries and what the Lord is doing in their lives and through their lives and in them. This evening we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 as we look at a great couple verses here. I'm going to skip over a couple verses. We'll come back to them as Paul talks about his fellow laborers. And talks about and gives instructions how to receive his fellow laborers. Let's look at beginning with verse 8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. We kind of have a summary statement here of Paul's admonition to the Corinthian believers of what they need to be thinking about, how they need to respond in their life, how they ought to sum up this great letter that was written to them. And he says these simple words: watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Now, you know, the real issue of life is your soul. You know, the real issue of your life is your soul. You know, friends are great, but you know, that's not the most important issue in life. Your soul is the most important issue of life. You know, your life, it isn't the amount of things you possess. There's something more important than the things you possess. That's your soul. Now, this is talking about people who are interested in their soul. You know what I'm saying? This is just words. These are just words. They might be kind of pointed words. They're good words and put a lot together, but they don't really mean much if you don't care about your soul. You know what I'm saying? If you don't care about your soul, well, this is just another, you know, a message tonight, and we're going to be out of church in a little while, and let's get it over with. But no, this is a summary statement of the Apostle Paul to the souls at Corinth, and these are mighty big words. And they need to be taken heed to. And they're very important. Now, because it has to do with people's souls. It has to do with their spiritual future. It has to do with their spiritual life. It has to do with the future of that church. He puts some things there. So what he says isn't something just to take lightly. But these are, you know, kind of like big pointers, bullet points, big ones for that church. And so what are the bullet points? What are the things that they really need to pay attention to, and every Christian ought to pay attention? Now remember, this book, this letter that was written to the church at Corinth, this is it's a pretty strong letter. Weren't you kind of shocked when, who was it, Wesco was here? It wasn't Brother Wesco. He said, boy, if you want to have a church split, preach through the book of 1 Corinthians. That's what he said. How many heard that? Yeah, that's what he said. You know, it deals with a lot of issues. People don't want to, you know, be faced with the issues of life. And he had a pretty powerful message here to people. And he's putting it all together now. You know, kind of a little statement of farewell. Spiritually, watch ye. Watching is a very important part of Christian life. Watching. You know, what are you supposed to watch for? You're supposed to watch for the devil. You're supposed to watch for the devil. You're supposed to be watching for the spiritual issues of life. You need to be a watchful person. Spiritually watchful. And he's emphasizing the importance of people being watchful. Now, obviously, if there's a watchman that doesn't care about the safety of the building or the safety of the city, if a person doesn't care about the safety of their soul, they're not going to watch, are they? They're going to watch. 1 Corinthians 16 says, watch ye. Now think about a couple of thoughts here about watching. In Matthew chapter 26, The disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane. The three, inner three, Peter, James, and John were with the apostle, with the Lord Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were sleeping. They were sleeping and instead of praying. And he said, verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? That kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? You know how it's really a challenge for us to pray. There's a real challenge for us to pray. He says, you couldn't even pray an hour. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Well, what was going to happen? Well, Judas was coming with the armed men that were going to take the Lord, and Peter was going to run, and the disciples were going to flee, and Peter was going to be outside the high priest's house and was going to deny the Lord. Curse his name, almost. Not curse his name, but curse and deny him. Wow. Why? He wasn't watching, was he? He wasn't watching for his soul. Wasn't watching for the trouble. You know, you need to watch. You need to watch for your soul. You know, most people aren't doing a very good job of watching. You know, people have, think of the book of 1 Corinthians. It says, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, if you have bad friends, it's because you aren't watching. You aren't watching. You aren't watching the influences around you and their influence on your soul. You're not aware of your spiritual life. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary. The devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, they weren't watchful. He says, you need to watch. There was a man in the church who committed incest with his father's wife, and they were going to just kind of brush it over and say they were tolerant and say they were nice, and they were going to commit, they were going to be friendly, and they were going to deal with it in church discipline. And the Apostle Paul says, little leaven leavens the whole lump. Better watch out for sin. Better watch out for sin. Better watch out for your own pride. Your glorying is not good, he said. You think you're so spiritual that you can just tolerate sin and not deal with it because friendship is more important than God. He says, you're in big trouble. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, watch. 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 I appreciate those who watch. You know, they watch. They make decisions based on how things are going to affect their soul, not their pocketbook. They make decisions based on their spiritual growth. Watch. You know, you need to be looking. Look around. Be aware of the spiritual realities of life. That sad thing is, a lot of people aren't watching. But the Lord said, this is a key issue. Watch. You know, I get to watch all the time. I get to watch people. I get to watch them right from the pulpit. I get to watch people. You know, it's amazing what when some people get together in church, even though I'm preaching a serious message, the whole time they're laughing. And I think, what's going on? Something's missing there. Something's awry in their soul. Something's awry. That's the real problem. Now notice what he said. He said, so being watchful. And, of course, a number of the songs tonight were about watching for the coming of the Lord. Watch for the coming of the Lord. Jesus said, you know, you can see the signs of the sky. You know what I mean? You know any farmer weather? You know, if you see mares' tails in the sky, it means change of weather in 24 hours. If it rained before 7, over by 11. You know, farmer's weather. Watch! But you know, there's signs of the times. And we're not supposed to be watching the signs of the times. Rather than being swept away by the signs of the time, watch! Now notice it says here, another very important truth is stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. Well, what does that mean? You know, there's a company here in town called Fastenal. You know that? You know what? It's about fasteners. It's about holding something fast. Holding it so it doesn't move. It's a fastener. It says, stand fast. We live in changing times, folks. We live in changing times. And the Bible says, Paul says, stand fast. Stand fast. Number of verses in the Bible about standing fast. You know, first of all, we could see the opposite. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. And it's talking about the ministry in a local church, the purpose of preaching and teaching the Word of God, and for the work of the ministry that we're all supposed to be doing. It says, verse 13, till we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight, in other words, the deceitfulness and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, children tossed to and fro. Oh, that sounds good. Let's go that way. Oh, man, that's a good-looking guy. That's a real nice guy. Let's listen to... Oh, you know what? God has a place where you're supposed to stand fast. You know what it is? The local church. That's where you're supposed to stand fast. Stand fast in the truth of the Word of God you've been taught in your local church. We live in a day winds of change, and the winds of change are not good. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 21. Notice. And of course, what it's talking about is talking about having your feet established on the truth, having your feet established on what is right. But Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 21, notice what it says. It says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both. I've said this many times. People are making all sorts of changes today, and they have no idea where it is going to lead them. We have all these churches and all these institutions and all these people. I'm just going to pick on one area, and putting on their, the ladies are putting on their trousers and throwing away their long dresses. You know what? Where's it going to lead? Do you know? Do you know where it's going to lead? No, you don't know where it's going to lead. They don't know where it's going to lead. And their calamity is going to come suddenly. It's not going to be good. A lot of changes going on today. But you know what? The Bible isn't wrong. When the Bible says, if a woman wears the apparel of a man, that's abomination, it isn't a mistake. It's not a mistake. You go down that pathway, it's not going to be good. You know, you see these girls raising up their dresses. I tell you what, it's not going to be good. I don't know who told them it was okay. But you know what? The calamity is going to come, and it's going to be sudden. People making these changes, they don't know where it's going to lead them. The Bible says, don't meddle with those kind of people. Don't meddle with them. The Bible, in fact, says the opposite. It says, stand fast. Stand fast. You know, the idea of standing fast is simply there's pressure to change. No, isn't that right? I mean, you think about, you know, in an athletic situation or whatever it is, you know, you're standing fast. You know, you're braced to stand fast, not to move. You know what I mean? Well, why? Because there's pressure to move you. That's why. There's pressure to move you. The world isn't a friend of grace. There's a lot of pressure in the world, isn't there? And so he says, stand fast. And this is one of the great truths of the Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And here there's pressure in Thessalonica. There's pressure from false teaching. There's pressure from those who are saying the Lord's going to come. You know, just take it easy. Don't work hard. Be like the Millerites. Sell all your property. Put on a white robe. You're on the highest hill. The Lord's coming. But just stand fast. So he says, but the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Establish you. The Lord will establish you, make you firm, make you strong. Stand fast in this world of all sorts of temptation, all sorts of change. There's pressure. There's a lot of pressure from the devil and the world and the flesh and fake Christianity, a lot of pressure from fake Christianity. Stand fast. How do you feel? How are your legs? You know what I mean? How are your legs? Are you wobbly? You know, when somebody says something, are you a wobbler? You know? And you hear something that appeals to your flesh, and you see all these people going this direction. You have weak legs. You can't stand. Can't resist. You just follow people. You're a people person. You're all interested in what people think, not what God thinks. Now notice, there's another great verse here. I mean, each one of these is worthy of a sermon. Some of you preacher boys, preach a sermon on the whole thing, on each one of these. Get five weeks of sermons on these two verses. How's that? How's that, Wyatt? 1 Corinthians, it says, this other great phrase here in the Bible. It says, watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. I like that. Quit you like men. The Greek word is andridsomai, means act like a man. Act like a man. You know, when the Philistines, they saw that Eli's sons brought the ark into the battle, into the camp. Oh boy, they had heard what happened when Israel was marching through the land, and how all their enemies were totally destroyed. They said, oh man, the ark is here. We're dead ducks. And the leader of the Philistines said to him, act like men. Act like a man. Now, you know, well, we live in a day in which they say there's no difference between men and women. In fact, President Obama, former President Obama, he said something like, now we know that women are just as strong as men. That's what he said. But you know, I thought that it would be good for us to think about the difference between men and women if you don't know it. Okay? As a group, women do not run, jump, or swim as fast as men. Women are also more prone to certain types of athletic injuries than men. The mean difference has been about 10% between men and women for all events. The mean gap is 10.7% for running, 8.9% for swimming, and 17.5% for jumping. Women are smaller in stature than men. The average 18-year-old man is 70.2 inches tall and weighs 144.8 pounds. Whereas the average woman of the same age is 64.4 inches tall and weighs 126.6 pounds. Women have significantly less crushing strength in their hands than men. Researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee found that on average, adult males between the age of 20 and 24 generate 121 pounds of crushing grip strength in their right hands. Some of them like to prove it, you know. And women in that same age group had 70.4 pounds of grip strength in their right hands. Women have about 10% more body fat than men. Why are you laughing? Don't look at me. Men, okay, 10% more body, we'll get off of that one. Okay. Women's hearts are about 25% smaller than men's. 25%. Thus, a man's heart can pump more blood with each beat. Thus, for any given work rate, the faster heart rate means that most women will become fatigued sooner than men. Women have about 30% less lung capacity than men. This gives men still another advantage in the processing of oxygen and in doing aerobic work such as running. Women have less oxygen carrying capacity than men. The woman's blood contains 20% fewer blood cells. Since red cells supply oxygen to the body, she tires more easily and is more prone to faint. Her constitutional viability is therefore strictly a long-range matter. When working day in British factories under wartime conditions was increased from 10 to 12 hours, accidents among women increased 150%. The rate of accidents among men did not increase significantly. Women have about 50% less upper body strength than men and about 30% lower body strength. A woman who is the same size as her male counterpart is generally only 80% as strong. And so when God says, act like a man, he's telling us that men are made differently than women. He's telling us that a man has been given this body strength because they have a role to fulfill. They have a role of protection, a role of hard work. They have a role of rising to the occasion. And so he says, you know, in a Christian life, he's saying that it's important to act like a man. In fact, other words that would describe the same thing would be descriptive of perhaps Joshua when he took over the leadership from Moses, and what were the words to Joshua as he was taking over the leadership? It says Joshua 1:6, be strong and of a good courage. Many times that phrase, be of good courage, is translated in the Greek, act like a man. David gave the leadership over to Solomon of the king of the kingdom. A huge role. And he said, be strong and very courageous. The Septuagint translates, I believe, you can check it, Thomas, act like a man. Act like a man. So what does this mean? You know, the Bible says a couple different things. It says, if thy strength fail in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thy strength fail in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, we have a lot of fair weather Christians today. And anytime there's a little bit of difficulty, they wilt. But what does God say? God says, you know, the opposite is supposed to be true of a Christian. Is that when the times get tough, we're supposed to rise up, not fizzle out. Rise up! Rise up to the occasion! Don't fizzle out when you need to be counted on. You know, what does the Bible say? It says, confidence in unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Confidence in unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth. I haven't had a broken tooth lately, but you know, if you have a tooth problem, you don't chew on that tooth, do you? But I can relate to this one, or a foot out of joint. You ever walk on, you know, if you have a foot on a joint, you don't walk on it, do you? You don't put your confidence in it. The Bible says confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. You see, that's the opposite. What does God require? The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. You see, the Bible teaches there's a proper response, spiritual response in times of difficulty. There's a proper spiritual response that is the key to the success of a church. That is the key to the success of a Christian. Those who faint in the day of adversity. Those who become weak in the time of difficulty. Those who falter. Can't depend on them. Can't depend on them. The church has no strength. But the church has strength when its members act like men. They rise to the occasion. Maybe it's not too biblical, but I say they grit their teeth and go forward with all their might. That's the idea of acting like a man. You know, you don't like it. You know, you just tell yourself, hey, we're going to do it. I like being Brother Golzinski, you know, he just says, all a matter of the mind. Well, it is, isn't it? You just decide you're going to do what's right and go for it. It's a decision. Act like a man. Boy, it's so important spiritually. So important spiritually. And no, I was just thinking about this occasion. So many times, you know, leaders are, which way is the wind blowing? What do people want? No. What does God want? What does God want? So that's a great truth. Act like a man. You know, there's a lot of twisted thinking today. A lot of young guys, they think acting like a man is being rebellious. That's not acting like a man. Acting like a man is having the guts to do right. It's the guts to stand up for what's right, even when other people don't like it. Now, then he has this other great truth. Of course, it's related. Be strong. Be strong. Well, what do you mean, be strong? Well, what's the opposite of being strong? You know what the opposite of being strong is? What is it?
Being weak.
Being weak. Yeah, that's right. That's the opposite. You know what? Be strong. Now, there's a lot of ways we can think about that. Of course, that famous verse, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. That he would grant you, verse 16, to be according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Of course, we recognize this strength as the strength that comes from the Lord. But strong. Be strong. Strong in what? You know, it's a characteristic of life. Strong in your convictions. You know, I'm not just a little bit against bad music. I'm really against bad music. And I'm against borderline music. And I'm against music that tends to borderline. And I'm against music that tends to borderline, even though if it's accompanied with great soul winning. I'm against it. Need to be strong. And you could just go down the line, but think about it. What is the problem today? What is the problem today? Churches don't have strong convictions. They don't have strong beliefs. They don't have a strong inner presence of truth in their soul. They're easily persuaded. You know, I think there's a real principle in the Bible. And I believe in progressive revelation. I believe in progressive sanctification. And I don't believe that that God is a schizophrenic. You know, when God told me to put away the 52-card deck, I didn't know much about the 52-card deck. But you know, he didn't make a mistake about telling me to get rid of the 52-card deck. The more I learned, the more I studied the Bible, the more I was against the 52-card deck. You know what I'm saying? God is a God of strength. You don't have to be a giant to listen to the Holy Spirit. I mean, I didn't know much about Hollywood. I didn't know much about movies when the Holy Spirit said, you don't want to go to there. You don't want to go to the movie house. You know, as I studied the Bible, my convictions didn't become less than the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was a babe in the Lord. They became stronger. Stronger. Stronger faith. The Bible isn't wrong. And the Bible is going to make you stronger. This weakness out there, what happens to weak churches? Did you ever find? Did you ever live long enough to find out what happens to weak churches? Most people haven't lived long enough to find out what happens to them. Weak churches, weak Christians, weak Christianity, weak convictions. What happens to them? Live long enough and you'll find out. They die. They become liberal. You know, he says, you know, there's a key here. Be strong. Be strong. Get your strength from God. And keep getting more. Be strong. That's what it takes. Be strong. And then he says, let all things be done with charity. Of course, it reminds us of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we have faith to remove mountains, but we have charity, we are nothing. Charity. Selfless love for God. Revelation 2:4. I have someone against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Thy first love. You know, it's exciting. One of the most exciting things in life is watching first love. I bet you that's exciting. Paul was probably so thrilled to see blessing. Oh, you know, he got saved and now he's starting to come to church every Sunday morning and he's having Bible studies with them and now today he says, I want to come to all the services. And so tonight he came to Sunday night church and I'm sure that when blessing came to church tonight there in South Africa, he was like, oh, man, this is boring. Man, I don't know why I came here. He made me come out. No, I bet you what, there's a big smile on his face. Amen. And he was excited about being in church. And he and Paul have it all planned out. This week they're going to, I don't know what they're going to do on Monday night. And I don't know what they're going to do on Tuesday night. But they're probably going to go soul winning. They're going to probably have a Bible study. And Wednesday night's going to be church. And they're probably going to meet before church. And pass out tracts to those hundreds of people that walk by the church. And you know, it's exciting to see a person that is exhibiting that first love. And we better not lose it. Better not lose it. You lost that first love? Do you lost that love? do all things with charity? Have you lost your love for God's word, your love for soul winning, your love to hear the Bible, your love for Christian fellowship, your love for the things of God? Wow, maybe you never had it. Maybe the things of the world is, man, that's got your heart. Man! I guess I can talk about the Green Bay Packers because they're not doing so good. But you know what? Is that your first love? Sports? Pleasure? Does that bring into your heart a bigger thrill than Jesus? Do all things with charity. Huh. Man, you come to church, we need to come to church because we love the Lord. And if we lost it, we better get it back. That's a key ingredient, isn't it? Key ingredient of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Love for souls. Love for souls. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us. Yeah. And if He loved us, then we ought to love other souls. Amen. Love for souls. I think that's a key ingredient of the Christian life, is a love for souls. You know, that ought to be our thermometer. That ought to be one of our thermometers in our life. If that passion for souls is replaced with passion for things, something's wrong. Something's wrong. If we get a bigger thrill out of doing such and such, and we don't have a passion for souls, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. Passion for souls. That's why Jesus died. We talk about love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There ought to be a passion in our heart for souls. Just like Jesus. And of course, that's connected with it, is that self-denial for others. That self-denial for others. You know, I was at a teacher's meeting. We had a prayer meeting. I won't say anybody's name. But we had prayer. And one teacher was praying so humbly, "Lord, help me not to be selfish. I'm so selfish. Help me not to be selfish." And I about died. I mean, actually, I almost died. That person, the most selfless person I ever met in my life. Selflessness for God. Do all things with charity. Well, five sermons in a little bit of time. But these are big key words for any church. A church needs to be on the watch. Our church needs to be on the watch. Being on watch. Watch for the intrusion of the world. One time we had this meeting. I don't know what kind of meeting it was. Some kind of meeting about the school or whatever. And I said, "We're not going to let worldliness come in here. We're not going to let worldliness come in here." I mean, this one guy about was shocked. I thought he was going to fall over dead. It shocked them. Why should we be so concerned about that? Watch. Stand fast. Don't move. Don't move. I remember a preacher friend of mine died, and his son was given a eulogy at the funeral. This pastor was old, 86, 87. And his son says, you know, my dad said, God doesn't change, and I'm not changing either. Now what he's talking about was the truth, standing for the truth and what he stood for. He just wasn't going to change. Stand fast. The attack is on the Bible today. No, attack is on the Bible. You know, there's not much standing fast. I do a little preaching now, but you know, 1951, the RSV was copyrighted by the National Council of Churches. And it said in Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says that a virgin shall bring forth a child, a son. And the RSV said a maid will bring forth a son. And you know what? The fundamentalist said, throw that Bible out. We aren't going to use it. 1951. Got theological liberalism in its translation. But you know what? There's so-called fundamental churches in America. I remember not too long ago, this one fundamental church that a lot of people just swoon over. And one of their members was visiting our church, and I saw this upstanding person, and you know what kind of Bible they had? RSV. What? Leading church in America? People swooning over its influence? No way! They're not standing fast. We have this weakness. It's amazing how people don't even care about the Bible translations. I'm shocked. Don't even care. Don't even care. No problem. No problem. We'll go to the church as the NASV. We go to church as the NIV. We go to the church as the New King James. No problem. Oh, no problem. That's a big problem. You know, you can't say you prove a point by circumstantial evidence. But I tell you what, churches that change translations, it's not because they're getting holier. I've never seen one of them get holier. And you can't make a point by circumstantial evidence. I realize that. But stand fast. Quit you like men. What do you think it's going to be like in tribulation? Wives going to turn in their husbands. Children going to turn in their fathers. Brothers going to turn in their brothers. Going to have to be some real men, aren't there? Right? Going to have to be some real men. Going to stand for the truth. That's what it means. Quit you like men. Rise up to the occasion. Instead of fainting in adversity and becoming a weather vane Christian, rise up and stand up for the truth. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? You know, I'm convinced more than ever. I'm just convinced that, you know, if you have a young person, you have a teenager that's not ashamed of living for God, they're not a lady that's not ashamed that they wear a long, modest dress. A young man that's not ashamed to have a nice, clean cut appearance and be a witness for God. I tell you what, that is powerful. Isn't it? Change the world. You have people who know what that means, acquit you like men. God's work is never done by fainting, fickle. Be strong. Do all things with charity. You know, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, pretty obvious, isn't it? You know, I think of Mrs. Bird out at the university. You know, I just kind of laugh, us old people there. And, you know, people would say, what we're doing at the university, it's not the way to do it. Bunch of old people. Right, Zach? You know, bunch of old people. You know, trying to reach these young people. Doesn't work! Oh, do you think they know Mrs. Bird loves them? When they get close, they do, though, don't they? Yeah. Makes all the difference, doesn't it? Wow. You know what? Great truths. And I'm sure that the Lord wants to use them in our lives tonight. I hope you young people get it. I hope you get it. And I tell you that if you're an adult and you've been wavering, God has a message for you. Stand fast. Quit you like men. There's an enemy. He's very subtle. Very subtle. If you aren't alert, if you aren't looking, you don't know where you're going to go. What's going to happen to you? Where are you going to end up? It's always been that way, and it always will be that way. That's why these verses are so up to date, because they're exactly what the church at Corinth needed in that day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these great truths. And Lord, I know that each one of them has a message in itself and could have been presented in a much clearer, more powerful way. But Lord, I pray that you would, that your Holy Spirit has taken the truth, opened people's eyes, made them understand, perhaps convicted them of fickleness, of faithlessness, of weakness. And there needs to be repentance. Lord, perhaps there needs to be a decision tonight to be strong, to stand for truth without reservation. Not to be people-oriented, fickle, because of people's opinions, but because of the truth's sake. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in different lives tonight. And now, Lord, help it to come to a conclusion. And I already know that, Lord, as we preached, either there was a receiving, there was an enduring, or there was a rejecting. But Lord, we know that if it is the people of God, there should be a submitting. May it be so. Help us, Lord, to see where it needs to fit in our lives. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And the Lord has made it clear in your life where this fits for you tonight. And say, you know, I'm saying yes to the Lord. I'm going to say yes to the Lord. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. I'm going to say yes to the Lord. I'm going to be that kind of person that it takes to be on God's side, standing for truth. And I'm going to be that kind of person that makes a church strong and successful and will go forward. And maybe it's in one little area that you have been wavering on. Maybe it's in more than one. Maybe it's a general spirit. And you say, God has spoken to my heart tonight, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm not ashamed to say I'm making a decision for God tonight to do right. And just by an uplifted hand, say, I'm not ashamed. I'm making that decision. I'm challenged. I'm encouraged. I'm deciding that even though I'm strong, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to even be stronger for God. And God's worked in your life. Anyone here tonight? And just raise your hand for God. Say, yes, that's my decision. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? Amen. Amen. Maybe tonight the Lord is speaking to your heart. The fact is, your soul isn't really important to you. Maybe you've never been saved. You got religion, but your soul is not the most important thing in your life. And in one sense, it's just like the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. And the Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is convicting you that you have not been genuinely converted. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be genuinely converted. Would you pray for me? Anyone raise your hand? I see a little hand. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? I haven't been genuinely converted. My soul is not the number one thing in my life and God. Pray for me. Okay? I see a couple little hands. All right. Lord, we pray, Lord, for everyone. Lord, raise their hand and what you're trying to do in their life. And Lord, for those that it was very clear, I pray that, Lord, they'll really mark it down and it will be a definite step forward and that you'll lead them in this whole spirit of strength for God. And I pray, Lord, for those who just know that they're weak, but they need to be strong and they don't know how to go forward, I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, would speak to their hearts as they're in the Word of God and you would show them where and how and when and what you want in their life. And we pray for those that are here tonight that have not been genuinely converted. Some raise their hands. But I pray, Lord, that you would work. We know it's only your Holy Spirit that can tell, convict a person of judgment. Lord, only you can do it. And I pray that those that are concerned about their soul raise their hand. We thank you, your Holy Spirit is convicting them. Pray you continue to convict them and that godly sorrow will work repentance and that repentance will work faith in the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for your working for souls that are not saved. Oh, may your Holy Spirit convict them of their need. We pray now you'd bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.